with that, let's head in the direction of our morning theme. All right, we're going to deal with the unknown God here today. And in your morning studies, man, this theme is really case specific, or it's word specific. Right? I mean, it flows right out of the book of Acts. Paul was speaking to people who had an idol that was set up to the unknown God, right? I mean, they wanted to make sure they didn't leave out something because they wanted all the blessings. So they had all these statues, and they had their names on them, and then they had this one that said to the unknown God. And Paul said, the one that you describe as unknown is the one that I want to make known to you. And so we're going to look at him kind of as he has been saved and God uses him and helps him progress in his faith in the book of Galatians. So if you've got your Bible, you can go there. We'll be there shortly, Galatians chapter 1. But as we begin here, I want to share a few things that may be unknown to us to lead us where we're going. Okay, so the title of the message today is Knowing the Unknown. Now, does that sound like an oxymoron? How can I know what's unknown? Right? That doesn't sound like it can work out. What we're dealing with today is that there are some things yet that we don't know that can be known, right? So we don't know everything on the planet. We don't know everything we need to know about Jesus or about the Word or about God or about the work of His church. We're all still learning and growing. I mean, you pretty much die when you quit learning, right? Even though your heart's still beating. So we've got to keep learning, keep growing. So knowing the unknown is possible. And that's what we're going to try to prove here as we begin. So we'll see if there's some things you know here. Did you know, here's some fun facts. Did you know that ants don't sleep? Anybody know that? Ants don't sleep. It makes sense, right? When you get over and you knock over their anthill to get it out of your yard, like 20 minutes later, it's twice the size it was when it started. Right? They just don't sleep. They never quit. They keep going until you and I step on them or something eats them. We spray them, whatever. Did you know that the Hoover Dam is still curing? The concrete in the Hoover Dam is still curing. All right? They built that with the intention of it lasting 2,000 years. Now, I don't know how you figure that, right? Let's do a test survey on a 2,000-year dam. We're still in the process of making that true or trying to prove that. But what they estimated is that it would take 300 years for that concrete to actually cure. So it's still in the process of curing. Did you know that? Some of you, maybe you knew that. Maybe you may know all these. Maybe it's just me who's getting smarter. And that's good. Did you know if you keep a goldfish in a room without light long enough, it'll turn white? You're going to go home and try it, aren't you? You're going to run to Walmart and buy that goldfish, and you're going to stick it in that closet, the place you don't ever want to visit? You're going to test me on it. I thought about testing myself on it. Did you know there are no snakes in Ireland? Who's going? Man, I'd like to go to Ireland, right? No snakes. I'm scared to death of snakes. It doesn't matter. We were out at my grandma and grandpa Malone's house one day, and it just rained. You know, worms tend to come to the surface after a good summer rain, and man, I was out in the front yard, and I took off screaming. I had seen a snake. And so my grandpa went and got the hoe, and he was going out in the yard, and he comes back in, and on the end of that hoe, he's carrying a little nightcrawler about that long. Is that what you saw? No, it was huge, Grandpa. Well, this is right where you said it was, and I'm pretty sure I was scared of a little worm. Did you know the eye of an ostrich is bigger than its brain? Got some big eyes, right? It's got a little bitty head. We won't talk about people. For every person on earth, it's estimated there are 200 million insects. I was talking about camp this morning with Miss Goldie, and she said, I'd love to go to camp. I just can't do bugs. I can't stand bugs. So she's got 200 of her own, 200 million that she needs to snuff out, right? We all have estimated 200 million insects per person. Did you know each year more people are killed by donkeys than by airplane crashes? Donkeys. Eels, all right? Did you know a blue whale's tongue is heavier than an adult elephant? Can you imagine that? An adult elephant, they say, weighs anywhere between 20 and 25,000 pounds. That is one massive animal. The tongue of a blue whale is as long as an adult elephant. Jonah, start making a little better sense to you? Did you know the largest star in our universe, the largest known star? If we all this morning decided to go over here to Lambert and get an airplane that was going to travel 550 miles an hour, it would take us 1,100 years to go around that thing one time. Now, I'm going to live 1,100 years, but I don't want to do it in an airplane. I'll settle for eternity. 1,100 years to circle it one time. You know how long it takes to circle the earth? 550 miles an hour? How long is it, Matt? It takes 2 days. That was a camp fact. 2 days to circle the globe 550 miles an hour in an airplane. 1,100 years to circle the largest star. That just blows. I can't really process that. I just can't. I can't imagine. You know, as we were singing this morning, how great is our God? It's like, I don't know. How great is He? I mean, how great is a God who can create a star that big and keep it in its place? You know, if we could withdraw from the universe and see the whole spectrum of things as God does, we would never see Earth. I mean, the Earth, in comparison to the largest star, would be like a grain of sand hanging in the sky. Could you pick out a grain of sand in the night sky? I mean, Psalm 8 makes sense then, right? When I consider your heavens, the work of your hands, who am I that you are mindful of me? Sometimes I just feel like that. And yet He is. He's deeply acquainted. He's deeply invested. He's deeply interested. So lots of things, right, that we didn't know maybe this morning now are known. Okay? So there are many things on the planet that we can know. Just because we don't know them does not make them unknowable. And it's the same with God. Many people walking this planet today, some of those in our own families, do not know God. But that doesn't mean they can't know God, right? And just because they don't know Him yet doesn't mean that He is unknowable to them. And so what we want to work through today is how God has a desire to make Himself known. And how He desires to do that often through you and I. So let's go to Galatians chapter 1 here. Galatians 1, we're going to begin in verse 11 and go to the end of that chapter. But we're going to notice Paul as he tries to encourage this church. There's some teaching that's been coming around that's not been true. And so Paul's trying to address those believers in these churches here around Galatia. He's saying, listen, we've got to get back to the gospel. That's what's true. And some of these Jewish people are trying to convert you Gentiles to Jews, and then you can come to Jesus. Is that how it works? No. Even Peter was involved in this, and you'll find in the next chapter, Paul confronts Peter and says, Peter, what are you doing? These people don't have to become Jews first. Right? We're not justified by the law. We're justified by faith. And that's for anybody, wherever you are, whatever your background or whatever your culture. So Galatians chapter 1. Let's look through here and see how God was working to make the unknown known. Galatians 1:11. But I make known to you, here we go. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you've heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and I remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now, concerning the things which I write to you, indeed before God, I do not lie. Afterward, I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they were hearing only. Here's what they heard. He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy. And their response is that they glorified God in me. So here it is this morning. I want to look at a few different ways. We'll look together of how God determined to make himself known. And so we're dealing with how we can make the unknown known. Okay, so first of all, if you're following on your bulletin, you can. You don't have to be. But the first thing is this. To make the unknown known, it starts with God. God has got to reveal himself to us. To make the unknown known to any of us, it requires God to make himself known to us. And that's the only way it can happen. And here's the beauty of it. God has already set things up. He's already put things in motion so that we could know him. Right? Sometime if you'll look up Ecclesiastes 3, you'll see there that God has set eternity in our hearts. And so there's this longing, this desire for something other than this world. There's this longing and desire for something other, something beyond ourselves. God's Word also tells us that the invisible qualities of God can be seen. You know how they can be seen? Romans 1. Through his creation. So through creation, we can begin to get a glimpse of who God is. Just like we just talked about that biggest star. Okay? Or we talked about the ants that never sleep. You know, some things that impress me about those small bugs is that they have hearts just like you and I do. These tiny little hearts, man, are just pounding away just like ours are. And so God has put things in order so that we would begin to see that there is something way, way beyond our ability, way beyond us. And then close to where we were this morning, and you may have addressed this verse, it says God has allowed all the experiences in our life for a purpose. It's so that we would seek him. It's so that we would look after him. So God, in a few different ways, has already revealed himself to us, right? He's put eternity in our hearts, eternity. He has created all these things, and the purpose is so that we might pursue him, that we might seek after him. And the verse says, as a matter of fact, he's not very far from every one of us. So God has revealed himself to us. What we need for him to do is go one step further and reveal to us that we have a need of his son, Jesus. Okay, so let's look at Paul for a minute. He's Saul at this point. And we got to say this happened in a pretty unique way. All right, anybody's conversion like that of Saul's? No, when you read through the rest of the New Testament, you don't see anybody else's conversion like that of Saul. Saul's was unique to Saul. So we're not saying this is how it happens for everybody. We're saying this is how it happened for him. This is what God did to meet Saul where he was at. So let's go to Acts chapter 9. We'll read these first five verses. God's got to reveal himself to us if we're going to know him. Verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. So he's in pursuit. Anybody who's following Jesus, you're fair game with whether you're in my town or not. We're going to snuff out all these people who believe in Jesus. And so he went to the high priest in verse 2, and he asked for letters to the synagogues in Damascus. So he wanted to go to another town where he could persecute more Christians. So if he found anybody there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners back to Jerusalem. Verse 3, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground, and he heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. So let's stop for a minute and think here. Did Paul believe in God? Paul had a belief in God. At least he thought he did. Did Paul believe in Jesus? In this way, that he was a real person? So Paul was like a lot of people. He has this belief that there is a God. He had a belief that Jesus really existed. However, Paul didn't see that he needed Jesus, right? All these Jesus people were just distractions. They were hindrances to the one true way. And so they were leading people away, he thought, from the one true God. So God did something very unique and very dramatic here in Paul's life. But what we can learn from all this is that for us to know the unknown God, God has got to reveal himself. So that goes back to what we said earlier. I cannot reveal God to you. I can share God with you. We can share his word. But for that to take root in your life and go, I need that, that's a God thing. That's a Holy Spirit thing. And so for us to know what's unknown, God must reveal himself to us. So let's go back to Galatians 1, and we'll see Paul talking about his experience there in Acts 9. Verse 15 and 16, he says, "But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being." So how did it work for Paul? He says, God revealed himself to me. God revealed his Son in me. And from that point, we find that Paul is converted. How does God do it today? How does God reveal himself today? Most often it's through his Holy Spirit as it intersects with the Word of God. People hear the Word of God being taught, being lived, being preached. And the Holy Spirit begins to woo and draw that heart, open that mind, and they say, I need Jesus. Not just I believe there's a God, I need Jesus. Right? We've said before, you'll never call for somebody to save you if you don't know that you need saved. Blind man's walking down a road and doesn't realize he's in the middle of an interstate. Does he know he needs to be saved? He doesn't know. Does he need to be saved? Absolutely. And so somebody needs to come along and say, hey, buddy, this is not where you should be. This is not good for you. When he realizes that he shouldn't be there, then all of a sudden he needs somebody to save him. Just like somebody drowning in a pool. You don't realize you need the help until you find that the water's deeper than you can touch and you couldn't swim. And so you start screaming for help. When people realize they have a need, and that Holy Spirit helps us see that we have a need, the Word of God comes to life, and God begins to reveal himself to us. Without the working of the Holy Spirit, people may hear truth, but they're not going to respond. A lot of people know what the Bible says. They've never responded to it, either because God hasn't worked that there yet, or because they have rejected the wooing or the drawing of the Spirit. So to make the unknown known, it starts with God revealing himself. Secondly, here, to make the unknown known, it requires the Holy Spirit to teach us. And so we're going to talk where we've just been here. So here again, we're going to see Paul had a pretty unique experience. Okay? So none of us saw a bright light and heard a voice, responded to the Lord that way. That was all Saul. None of us have had this similar revelation either. Let's go to verse 11 and 12. Paul's got this direct revelation from Jesus. He says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached, it wasn't from human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. So how did this work for Paul? It was a direct revelation from Jesus Christ, all right? God spoke to him through Jesus and helped to establish Paul as an apostle. And so one of the requirements of an apostle was that you had seen the resurrected Jesus and that you had been taught by him. And so Paul was called to be an apostle to the Gentiles, to be the carrier of the message. And he had the qualifications to prove that. He had seen the resurrected Jesus and he had been taught by him. Now, do we know the revelation? Do we know what it was that Paul heard from Jesus in that moment? I mean, we don't have the direct revelation. It's not outlined in Scripture. But what we know is this. It worked in such a way where Paul was never sharing his own thoughts or opinions. What Paul then went to teach and preach was Jesus Christ, right? There were cities that he went into, and he says, as I'm coming to you, or as I'm writing to you, the only thing I'm going to know while I'm here is Christ and him crucified. That's what I'm here to talk about. That's what I'm here to preach. So I'm not here to shed my opinions on different things. I'm not here just to give my good ideas. I'm not trying to create some kind of new religion. I'm here to talk to you about Jesus. So God had revealed himself to Paul, and God had trained Paul in his truth. And it works the same way for you and I today, even though we don't have that direct revelation from Christ as Paul had. How does it work? John 14:26 deals with our advocate. It says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, what's he going to do? He will teach you all things, and then he will what? He will remind you of everything I have said to you. And so we've got Jesus teaching. We've got Jesus talking about the kingdom. We've got Jesus investing in these people. And he says, when I go away, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, is going to come. And now he's going to teach you. And he's going to remind you of everything that you've been taught. So the Holy Spirit works to take God's Word, whether we are listening to it in a service like this, whether we're reading it at home or driving in our car and we're listening to it on the radio, and he takes it and he shares it with us. He then teaches it to us, and he uses that to transform us. See, here again, apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, I will never be changed. I can know truth galore. I can memorize the Bible cover to cover and never be changed. Change, transformation, demands, requires the working of the Holy Spirit. So to make the unknown known, God has got to reveal himself, but the Holy Spirit then has to progress from that point to help us learn from him, to help teach us, so that we can know further, not only God, but understand our role. See, before you knew God, did you understand it was your God to make God known? What do you think? You think people that don't believe in God wake up each day going, and I need to let people know about God today? No, right? Because for whatever reason, they have not received Christ yet. Maybe they've heard and rejected. Maybe they've heard something distorted and it hasn't been drawing. Maybe they just haven't responded yet. Without God revealing himself, no one will respond. And it's necessary for the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, to teach us, transform us, so then we can further know what is unknown. So just think for a minute about all the truths that you know from the Bible that permeate kind of your heart and your mind, that your life and your hope is all saturated in. Is that because we've just wised you up? Because you've been going to Bible studies year after year after year and you're finally getting it and you're getting smarter? No, we have a role to play, right? It's our work to help equip. But, man, if there's ever any growth, if there's ever any truth that is implanted to the point of transformation, and by that I mean where it gets applied. So you and I have a grudge against one another, and I can't stand you and you can't stand me, and I love Jesus and you say you love Jesus too. And one day I'm reading my Bible and it says, how can you love God whom you can't see, and you don't love your brother whom you do see? Well, if I go, well, you know, Jesus still loves me. I still hate you. Does that jive? Has that truth taken root in my life? No. When I take what's true and I apply that, and my heart's broken and I'm humbled because I'm realizing I'm not a reflection of my Savior, now the Holy Spirit's at work. Transformation is taking place. I am trying to live obediently to the Word and how the Spirit prods us and pricks us in ways where we're not obedient. The Holy Spirit is a beautiful part of the Trinity, completely necessary for us to know the unknown God. And so I need God to reveal himself. And if you're a believer, he's done that. You've seen that you need Jesus. Otherwise, you would never have said, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I repent of these sins. Would you please save me? Hopefully you've been growing. You've been relying on the Word and the Holy Spirit's been active in helping you transform and apply that Word to your life. But then here's how this is lived out. All right, so to make the unknown known, it requires you and I to share, number three, we need to share Christ with others. So as we just stated, God's got a pretty distinct design. He's got a great plan, and his plan is this. If you know Jesus, not that you know about him, it's his plan that you help other people know and believe in Jesus Christ. See, think about the transformation in Saul for a minute. Did Saul know Jesus? We just said a few minutes ago he knew Jesus. Was he out telling other people that you need to come to Jesus initially? No, he was killing people. He was taking mom and dad out of a home, putting them in prison, and now you've got orphan kids. He was asking for a letter from the governor to go to other cities so he could do the same thing there. He was zealous for the faith. He knew Jesus, but he wasn't telling anybody about Jesus. The difference was when he realized his need, where the Spirit of God revealed himself, and Paul was taught then by the Holy Spirit, we see now the whole story changed, right? Galatians 1, we see here now he's telling people about Jesus. And the places that he hadn't even visited, they were hearing about this guy that used to persecute the church. He was working to destroy it, and they were rejoicing because he was going into these towns now telling people about the only one that could save them. And so we've got to share Christ with others. Let's go back to our text, Galatians 1. It says, when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, when God was pleased to reveal his son in me, there we are revealed, so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. Why did God reveal his son to Paul? What's that verse say? Is it so Paul could go to heaven and just live the cush life and live in luxury, have everything he wanted, care less about other people or the mission of God? No. God revealed his son to me so that I might then preach to the Gentiles. Now that was Paul's distinct, specific call, his distinct, specific commission. But God has given one just as clear and just as specific to you and I. So for Paul, his commission was to go and share Christ and do that with the Gentiles. You speak to them, you live it out in front of them, you let them know who I am. And if you read through all the letters in the New Testament of Paul, you'll see that he was faithful to his commission. And we're called to be faithful just as well. What's our commission? Anybody know? I started to put it on the wall, but I thought we should know this by now. Matthew 28 tells us, go where? Go into all the world, all the nations, and do what? And make disciples of all these nations. How do we do it? Well, we're going to start by telling them about Jesus, and that's demonstrated by we're going to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Then what do? We're going to teach them, and we need the aid of the Holy Spirit there. Teach them to observe. So don't just give them teaching and go, hey, it's up to you what you do with it. Teach them, yeah, it's up to you, but you need to obey it. Teach them to obey everything that I've taught you, and then what? You're like, go into all the world and teach all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you, and I'm always with you, right? This is the plan. This is where I'm going. This is my work, and I'm asking you, I'm commanding you, I'm commissioning you as disciples to be involved in this. This is life. This is what it looks like to really grasp purpose and chase it. So again, I'll ask you, can we change anybody's hearts? Can God? Can we make people see their need of Jesus? Can I reveal the Son where they go, that's what I need? I cannot. I can share it. You know how many people I've shared it with and they go, just not interested. So what's the difference between the person who says, yes, I need that, and the one who says, no, thank you? There's got to be the activity of the Holy Spirit, and there's got to be the cooperation on the part of that person, not being resistant to what it is God's trying to do. So God's commissioned us to go share his word, to share Christ with others. We can't change hearts. We can't help people see their need, but God can. Now, we stated earlier, sometimes I believe I'm a little timid in sharing my faith because I try to take on the role of God. And I feel like if your life's not changed, it's my fault. And if you don't receive Jesus Christ, it's because I didn't say it clear enough for you. I didn't put it in simple enough terms for you. And so I'm trying to take on the work of God. And then it clicks like, Corey, you couldn't even save yourself, buddy. You can't even save yourself. What makes you think you could save somebody else? And then I like to go to Jesus. Jesus, God in the flesh. Did everybody respond to Jesus with faith? So if they reject him, man, you know they're going to reject us. And so I can't change anybody, but I can tell others. And that's all that God has asked us to do. I wonder, sometimes maybe we don't share because we feel like that's a hopeless cause. You got people in your life that way, you feel like, I'm not going to tell them because they're living like hell. I mean, they wouldn't say that they're Satan worshipers, but they sure live like it. They're chasing everything the world has to offer. You try to talk to them about God, they say, that's just dumb. I don't need that religion junk. And you look at that person, you go, this is a hopeless case. They'll never come to Christ. Who's the main person in our story today? God. Who's our second main character? That was fantastic. I don't know who said it, but that was fantastic. Who's our second main character? Paul. What was Paul's name before he had this collision with Jesus on the Damascus Road? Saul. What do we know about Saul? Saul was a persecutor of the church. Saul wasn't one of these guys who was tolerant. You know, T word of our day. It's okay for you to have that, and I'll have mine, and you're totally wrong. So you can be wrong, and I'm right. And as long as we know I'm right and you're wrong, everything's okay. He wasn't out trying to... No, he said, you believe in Jesus? Yes. Let me introduce you to a prison cell. And you're introduced... You believe in Jesus? Yeah. We've got a whole group of people who are just waiting to stone you. Come on. He found joy when those who were a part of the faith were persecuted. Remember Stephen walking around telling people about Jesus, trying to tell the truth, and people got so livid they took him out and they stoned him. Who was standing there giving approval over it? Saul. He was like, this is great. Another one bites the dust. We're snuffing them out. We're going to do it in this town. We're going to do it in the next town. All I'm telling you is, if anybody was hopeless, don't you think Saul was? If there's anybody that you'd look at and say, they'll never come to Jesus, you would say it would be somebody like that. And now we talk about Paul as one of the greatest missionaries to ever live. So if God can take somebody who was zealous against him, passionate against him, and turn that heart around, don't you think he can do that to your family member? Your spouse, your friend, your child, your coworker, your neighbor? So it gives me that confidence. Why don't you be bold? You know, if they've got to hear, it means somebody's got to share, right? Isn't that the progression? Everybody who calls will get saved, but they won't call if they don't believe, and they won't believe if they don't hear, and they won't hear if somebody's not preaching, and nobody will preach if we don't send them. So maybe there's people just sitting around going, waiting for you to tell them about Jesus. Waiting for me to tell them about Jesus. We need to let God be God. I need to let God be God. And I need to do my part. My part is to share. My part is to serve, to give. But all those things, everything I do is just to help point those people to Jesus. So I want to rake your leaves, not so you go, we have great neighbors. I don't care if anybody ever remembers me. But I want to serve you in a way, love you in a way where you'll begin to think, why are they doing that? Well, there's this thing right now, people are going through drive-thrus, and they've been doing it for a while, but especially in our area, and they're paying for people's food behind them. Spreading joy, right? You can get a little card in the mail saying that you've just spread some joy. People are calling in that don't believe, saying, hey, this person paid for my meal. I don't know why they did it, but that was awesome. We look for opportunities to serve and love people so that we have a chance to speak to them about how great our God is and about how much He loves them. You know, the chief goal in life is to know Christ and to make Him known. And so if that's our chief goal, what I wonder here as we begin to close is this, are we accomplishing our goal? And sometimes it's easy when we group it all together. I hope you're accomplishing your goal because that means I'm part of you, and so really I'm accomplishing my goal too, right? So this side, they're all telling people about Jesus, and we're connected to them. So I guess we're all telling people about Jesus. We make it individual. Are you accomplishing your chief goal? It all starts with knowing Jesus is your Savior. So do you know Him today? I'm not asking you, like, did you know Him like Saul did? Did you believe He existed? Saul believed that He existed. Couldn't stand Him. I'm not asking you if you think He taught well or if He lived a good life. I'm asking, have you seen that you need Jesus like that blind man walking down the interstate? Not just so I have my get into heaven card, but so I find life starting today. So I find purpose today. I can fulfill why I've been created today. Have you desperately seen your need of Him? You know, this week, we've had a pretty cool week. Long week. You might remember last Sunday at the end of the service, I said, man, when we were pronouncing the blessing over each other, you remember that? I said, it feels like we were just doing this the day before. It had been a whole week. It feels like I haven't seen you in a month since last Sunday, honestly. So we've had a pretty cool week. A lot of good things going on. This girl Monday night who gave her heart to the Lord. My two brothers and Ben Ryan. Some of you know Ben Ryan. Ben was our evangelist for the week at camp. And they were all sitting out in the trucks. Everybody was in their dorms. Well, there's just three girls that come over to them. And one of the guys says, hey, what are you doing out here, girls? You should be in your room. And this one girl, Cheyenne, is kind of quiet for a minute. She says, I got to be saved. And they're like, really? What do you mean you got to be saved? She said, I've never been saved. I want to be saved. And so they sat down and they talked with her. And, man, I'm telling you from, I guess it was Sunday night I saw her in worship. Monday night I saw her as well. Tuesday night she was a different lady. She was quiet and reserved and singing, and I don't know if that was God working in her heart. Tuesday night, I mean, she was bouncing around. She was loving the song. She was responsive, smile on her face the rest of the week. She talked at the bonfire Thursday night how she had been saved, and she comes from a family that would never lead her to Jesus, never talk to her about Jesus, doesn't want her to know Jesus. And she was concerned about going home, back to her mom. What did it take? It took God to reveal Himself, and it took somebody to share it. The plan's really not that complicated, is it? And we're dealing with complicated, broken, ruined lives. It doesn't work that way all the time. I understand that. But sometimes it does. We were sitting around Thursday night. The bonfire. And we're all just kind of talking, you know, asking. Well, first I asked things like, you know, what are some highlights from your week? And that was just turned into a chit-chat session, basically. So I said, all right, let's get a little more serious here. Let's really try to tune in for the next however long. And it did. It got quiet. And so, what are some spiritual moments this week? What are some things you've taken away? And so one by one, talking about things they've learned, how they've been challenged, how they've responded, all just good stuff going on. And this little gentleman over here, he's not little, he's bigger than I am. And it's all dark. I couldn't see anybody, so I'm just listening for voices, trying to identify people. And Matthew was talking about, you know, he'd had a good week. He'd had some fun, met some people. And one of the guys in his room, right, was it Tyler? This guy named Tyler Bond from Decatur. Bond? Not Bond. Tyler who? Who? Oh, Tyler Trotter. Okay, Tyler Trotter. Comes up to him, and I guess you guys are having a conversation. He asked you, have you ever been saved, right? And so Matt's sitting around the bonfire there, and he says, you know, I had to be honest with him. I said, no, I've never been saved. And that was kind of the end of the conversation, wasn't it? And so I just kind of sat still for about 15 seconds. I was waiting. Like, come on, Lord, let's go. You prod that heart right now, please. And so I played the role of the Holy Spirit. And I said, Matt, do you want to be saved? And he said, yeah, I do. And I'm telling you what, man, I was ready to touch the moon. Well, about that, I was headed his direction. And about that time, Miss Cheyenne speaks up and says, and I got saved this week, too. And I was, And so Ben Ryan taps him on the shoulder, and he takes him over to a tree, right? And talked with him about understanding his sin and that he needs Jesus. And in his own way, Matthew prayed and asked the Lord to save him. And so while he was over there praying, we stopped, we shut down the bonfire a minute, we all prayed and said, God, I don't know what you're doing, but if you're trying to save this young man, I pray that you'd help him see that he needs you and you'd draw his heart. He'd respond. So somebody else testifies. And then the next thing I know, Matt's walking in and he says, hey, I just got saved and I want to give my pastor a hug. And so he wraps his arms around me. It was awesome. You know what it took? We didn't have to have some great show. Fantastic music. The lights. Massive programs, tons of people, a whole bunch of money. All it took was just a friend, somebody saying, hey, have you ever been saved? No, I haven't. And it took the work of the Holy Spirit, right? God drawing that heart, hearing the truth, understanding the need of Jesus. And then somebody going, all right, that's what I want. Would you please save me? So I don't know who was crying harder, Matt or me. But it was awesome. I'll never forget Thursday night. Nobody will they? There was a guy that spoke after that, one of the campers, and he said, you know what? We were sitting at the, usually we go out into the woods for a bonfire, and this is a fire pit we've just built right there by the new chapel, in between the chapel and the gym. And Jonathan spoke up and he said, I don't know, but this may be the first person who was ever saved at a bonfire at this new location. And you could just tell they were marking that night. You know, it wasn't just, you know, singing some songs, sitting around a campfire, telling some stories. You know, God had shown up. And people, other than Matthew, were dealing with decisions and making commitments, just sitting around a fire, friend to friend. It was awesome. So if you've been praying for us, I think that puts another star in your crown. I know you have been, and we desperately needed it. But it was a fantastic week. It's really that simple this morning, friend. If you've never been saved, how come? Do you understand that you desperately need Jesus? You realize you're a sinner? We all are. When Jesus hung on that cross, and Galatians 2 tells us, I'm crucified with Christ. It doesn't mean that I literally hung there. It means my sin, my shame, my guilt, everything that is unholy about me has been crucified. And now I no longer live, but Jesus lives in me. Jesus lives in me. Does Jesus live in you this morning? Confess our sins. Repent of our sins. Jesus, will you save me? His promise is, yes, I will. So do you know him? But secondly, I want to ask you, are you making him known? How long has it been since you've shared Jesus with somebody? I don't mean you paid for somebody's meal. I don't mean you raked their leaves, shoveled their snow, pulled their weeds, helped with their groceries. Those are all good things. I mean, how long has it been since you verbalized to somebody that doesn't know Jesus that there is a God and that he loves you and that he's given his son for you, who's Jesus? How long has it been since you've talked with somebody? How long has it been since you've prayed for an opportunity to share with somebody what Jesus has done for them? If the chief goal in life is to know Christ and to make him known, are you accomplishing your goal? Am I accomplishing mine?